we will do the over 65 homestead freeze. Then also, we've got, we're still 22, 32, whatever that number is, of people that are on the new lease. And so the discussion is, or what we'd like from y'all is, how do you feel about, do you want to continue on? Do you want to wait until we get some resolution on a file bill, a pass bill? What are your feelings and your thoughts about how we should instruct the staff on how to proceed during this interim from now, particularly proceeding to write? We've already got it in the planning stages. Kent's writing a resolution as we speak. We're continuing. If somebody showed up today at PK and said, I want a new lease, boom, it's done. And those type things. Did I miss anything? So I guess we just need your feelings, and if you think, okay, just work it, we can do that. But I guess we're looking for a little guidance.
Well, I'll start out. The 50-year lease was an answer, and taking in consideration that the decisions we've made have been based on the fact that divestiture was not on the table. When you put divestiture on the table, and then you view the fact that folks now are trying to value their lease based on an encumbrance, I am not in favor of 50-year leases and encumbering those lands any longer than we have in the past. The second thing is you've got to take into consideration that the folks that can buy are going to buy. The folks who are going to lease are going to continue to lease. And when they sell, they're going to have to sell it outright and be out from under it. So the only people we're talking about at some point in time staying on BRA leases are those folks who have leases in the FERC project boundary. From a business standpoint, knowing that they are trying to get the valuation of the lease based on the encumbrance, I don't believe it's in the best interest of the BRA to continue with a 50-year leasing program. I'm not sure how I feel about a 20 or a 30, but right now I would say not to do any more 50-year leases.
Any comment or any suggestions or maybe another viewpoint?
Well, what about I don't have any really strong feelings of either way, but I have a little difference of opinion with Wade. I think we worked long and hard on setting up a new procedures for new leases. We paid big bucks to the Staubach company to help us develop this. We have already 2 dozen that have fallen in line with what we have proposed. And now then, all of a sudden, this dragon has come up in Austin and muddied our water at no urging of ours. I just feel like that we need to go forward with a lease. I'm not saying it needs to be 50 years. But with the understanding of the lessees that, you know, this may all give, you may have an opportunity to buy this later on. But we're going to have some expirations come up here. And it may come up way before this legislation is handled. I think we need to keep on plowing. We've done our due diligence. We've done what we think is right by the people of Texas. We've done what we think is right by the people at PK.
One of the things I've learned in many years of business, private life, is you can't put pending legislation in the bank. One of the things I've learned is you can't put pending legislation in the bank. Yeah. And you can't make plans for your life based on pending legislation. So until it is legislation, I say we continue right on the path we're going. The bullet's been fired. It's in the air. Let's don't us put a bulletproof vest up. Let's just keep going.
Any other, Rudy?
Well, I'm
sorry. I'm sorry, Carolyn, did, I'm sorry.
Jean. Yeah. Well, I actually agree with you from, say, a business standpoint, but actually business is people, and I think we need the consistency along the lines of what we have embarked upon with the new lease rate methodology. Yeah. And so it's a May 29th, last day of the session. I don't know how many new leases we'll have during that time, so I don't know that that impact financially long term will really make a huge difference or not. So my thought would be to be consistent and stay with what we have worked for these last couple of years.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I mean, we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the process that we're on, and it would. I'm all for going down the road that we're going on. The problem I have is now that our decisions are being used against us in Austin right now, and our, to some extent, our leniency in our lease rate methodology is being used to devalue state property, and that's the argument that's being used down there. And
is it the term of the lease or the amount of the lease?
Well, it's both, because they're both encumbrances. It is both. And the analogy is that if Martha and I are neighbors and we have the same size lot with the exact same house, and I have 2 years left on my lease and she has 15 years left on her lease, she's going to get her lease, her lot, cheaper than I'm going to get because of the net present value of the situation. And the one issue that nobody's taken into consideration is the fact that if I've got $1 million house and Martha's got $1 million house, because my lease expires, the BRA has a general, should have a general assumption to assume that that value of that improvement is going to stay. Now, granted, as a leaseholder, I may have the ability to remove it, but how practical is that? And it, you know, if I've got a 6,000 square foot slab house, I'm not going to take the bricks off of it when I leave. So technically, the way those appraisals are done is that those improvements are made part of it too, and they've excluded that from part of that definition under the lease. It's only the interest being conveyed, which is the land itself, the lease fee. So you know, that was my, you know, I understand how much money we've spent. I understand the headaches that we've been through, and I think it's a great process. But we have legislators now that think that the thing for the BRA to do is to be in the water business and be out of the land management business. They haven't recognized the fact that we're not ever going to get out of the land management business.
No.
And therefore, the process now has morphed itself from, let's get the BRA out of the land management business, to let's be in a position where there's a percentage of 1,500, 1,600 leaseholders that are going to have the advantage to buy their lease. It's not going to cut down, and I'm in the property management business. From a proportionate standpoint, you know, if we sell 30% of the land up there, it's not going to cut our cost 30%. There's a sliding scale, and it'll depreciate some, and then after a while, it's going to level out. No matter how many we have, we're still going to have a certain amount of expenses.
How many leases do you got expiring between now and the end of the last session?
Yes, you had that list.
Well, it zero. They
oh,
don't.
None?
Yeah.
Well, transfers. The would be the only thing. They only expire at the end of 12/31.
Oh,
at the end of
right.
The year. That's where we have the majority.
I'm
of
sorry.
But okay. So we do have some transfers. There could be some new leases.
There will be transfers over that period of time. I can't tell you how many.
Well, I don't think we want to go back and rewrite the lease again. I don't think between now and May 29th we want to make any drastic changes backwards or forwards.
Yeah.
Six weeks, 8 weeks.
This may be a moot point.
You know, just raise more questions. If you change the terms of the lease, isn't that what you're talking about?
Except that if it doesn't pass this session, I bet it's revisited 2 years from now.
Well, you can make that statement on any case you want to talk about.
But we've got
some time between that.
Action. Well, but we've also got expiration during that period.
In the workshop,
use that argument, we might as well just change it forever.
Yeah, in the workshop, I mean, maybe we need to get the interject in there that if it turns out that they're successful in defining how they're going to value the land based upon the encumbrance, then I think we need to be telling them in the workshop about we probably will not be able to stay with a 50-year lease. And not saying we changed it, but we have to revisit it also because they've interjected something that's different than our assumption.
Well, that's,
of what
you know, that's
AI
the
is.
Hardest thing to do. And Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. The hardest thing to do is to get anyone other than the BRA to understand that this legislation affects leaseholders and our customers downstream, because there's always been a face on the other side of the table that represents the percentage of the people that are going to buy, but everybody else has been left out of this. Would you agree?
I believe there are some folks who aren't completely informed as to what this process will and won't do.
I will tell you, Senator Representative Keffer's one of his staffers, Trent Thomas, knows and has done an immense amount of homework. And is, I would say, very well versed on the position of the BRA. But that's unfortunately come back to hurt Representative Keffer, because he's been viewed as, you know, BRA friendly as opposed to the PKLA friendly side. So
I think that changing, just for this short period of time, changing the lease rate methodology again, going to raise a public relations problem.
I think let me, and I certainly want everybody to have their say. I mean, and Wade brought Martha into the mix when he hadn't made the comparison. I want Martha, do you have anything to say? You're in it, so you have to say something.
Yeah, you're not that.
You're his neighbor.
My neighbor. Honestly, I think making a change based on legislation, I don't know what the chances of it actually happening are.
I have been a proponent of consistency for forever and ever, and especially when we've gotten into this conflict. I think the process that we went through, the decisions that we came up with, whatever the vote was, unless we came up, when we finally came up and we started explaining to people what our position were, I think that is very important to maintain, because we gave them a lot of information and a lot of reasoning for why we've done things. Now, anytime you take a position and you kind of put down a stake, somebody's going to have a chance to challenge it or change it. And this is what we see happening. But we can't be ambivalent, in my opinion, in terms of changing what we know to be sound practices of the Brazos River Authority. I don't believe that language in its present form will survive, you know, the light of day, but stranger things would happen. I just can't see that happening. And I think it would be, it's more important for the Brazos River Authority to be, as Gene put it, I think, beautifully, you've got to be consistent. Here's what we're doing, and here's why we're doing it, and we've not changed from day one. From day one, when the governor's folks and everybody else said, you know, this, 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 and this, and this, we've not changed a bit. Folks have come in and wanted to massage some of that stuff, but I think that they're going to find that's going to be awful difficult to do. And I think that we need to be true and consistent there, and I think in the long term, I think it will serve us very well. And as Fred says, this might be just a mute point right now.
Let me... One other thing that Phil brought up is, you know, in the last meeting we talked about putting a freeze on the 65 and older homestead. Well, with the way the legislation is written right now, if I can't afford to buy my house, I can submit a waiver. And the way that the law is written, they've asked that the waiver be memorialized. In other words, I guess filed with the county clerk.
Well, no, it'll be appended to the lease.
As an amendment to the lease. So that at some point down the road, if I can afford to buy it, then I pay the 2007 values. Now, I question the constitutionality. I don't think that's constitutional at all. But it creates a situation where someone could take advantage of the 65 and older homestead, freeze the rates at a certain point, and then 20 years from now, their son or daughter, through them supposedly, could come in and buy it at the 07 values.
Where is that?
That's in, I don't know which clause it is.
In subsection D
of the bill.
Of the bill.
No, of the bill, which is...
Buying an option without paying for it. Buying an option without paying for it.
Well, I question the constitutionality of it, like I said, but, you know, if we're going to go ahead and freeze...
The only thing we're freezing is the rate, or the, isn't it a waiver or an exemption is what we're granting. We're not freezing anything on the over 65. Aren't we being consistent with the property taxes that the counties have, where you exempt, or you get an exemption for a portion of your property value?
Yeah, and that's what
we're doing. But the property value is still, the property value is always adjusted. It's just that you're not paying it at that full rate.
But what it creates there is incentive then for folks to freeze it for as long as they're going to utilize it, and 20 years down the road, then pay that same value for it.
Because they sold it to their children?
You can't freeze it past the people that are there. In other words, once it's sold even to a family member, it's not frozen anymore.
I mean, that's not consistent.
The taxes go up to market to regular value.
If I sell my home to my son, he doesn't get my exemption.
That's right.
No, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is...
It's established a...
What I'm saying is, if I'm 65, and I live at the lake, and I can freeze it and pay $2,000 a year for the remainder of my life up there, well, then hopefully shortly before I know that it's about time for me to part this world, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy that lot, and I may buy that lot from my son's funds, and then at my death, the ownership then transfers to him. So I think it creates incentive for folks to stay on the discounted rate.
That's only as the way the law is written today.
How many folks did we have on the discounted rate?
If it's passed as it is now.
Isn't there a time limit on having a... Right now there's about
120 that are eligible, that are both
over 65 and homestead, that meet both qualifications.
I just don't think we ought to make any decisions based on what the pending law might say.
Now then, and I don't disagree with that, but I'm going to tell you, all we're going to do is transfer this conversation to the 16th in Granbury, because we have instructions to come back and to give you a resolution to freeze.
Oh, I'm not arguing on that.
No, but I'm telling you that all we're...
Yeah, I know, but my point, Phil, is May 29th, we'll know whether it's...
Yeah, but we freeze that valuation.
And I don't see that this freeze is going to...
WD-40.
Yeah. I don't see that this freeze is going to impact us financially.
Phil, the leases go out at the end of the year, so if the decision's made in April or August, it's not going to change anything.
I believe what Director Gear is trying to say is, if you place a freeze on the rates on a specific piece of property, does that then, when you go in to appraise that property, if the bill were to pass as is written now, does that substantively devalue that property? So therefore, by adopting a freeze, would you then be devaluing certain amounts of property?
That's only an issue if the legislation passes.
Absolutely. That's only if it passes as is. Yes.
The logic still holds. All my point was that we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to go through this conversation again.
Either that or delay the...
Yeah, we got...
Delay
we got
the freeze to...
Until August. All this is settled one way or the other.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Absolutely.
You have a resolution. Passes in May. It's too late to come back and change it.
Based on the conversation.
Yes.
We don't have to change the legislation. What we can do is we can draft a resolution once it's filed or passes that says we do whatever you want to do, then we'll have that discussion.
Yeah. We'd have to have another discussion.
Yes.
We can't
yes.
make a decision based on if.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We agree.
I mean, I don't see. Okay.
We agree.
So what do we need? Where are we?
We don't.
Write something. Put it up there.
Do we have a resolution?
If the desire is to
Really, I don't think we need to.
Desires to do anything.
If the desire is to hold off until the July board meeting, if we had a motion and a second here that the board of directors instructs staff to wait until the July board meeting to raise the issue of the freeze, we could do that today based on the posting we have with regard to the lease rates.
Fine with me.
Is that a resolution?
Commercial lease form and commercial lease rate methodology too. We were going to do that in April.
There are two other issues relating to leases that were contemplated to be posted on the next meeting. One is commercial leases, and Kent, what's the other one? The
commercial lease rate methodology. And we're going to put, I think what she's recommending is that we hold off until the July board and address all of that at that time once we know kind of what this legislation is.
Pending resolution, the resolution of the legislation, then we will come forward with you.
Is that the sentiment of the board then? I'd entertain a motion. So moved?
So moved.
Yeah. All right.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Adams, second by Ms. Johnson. Hold the board. Yes.
Director Bailon?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Baker?
Yes.
I said yes.
Director Bloom?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Garcia?
Yes.
Director Gere?
Yes.
Director Hughes?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Martin?
Yes.
Director Moore?
Yes.
Director Skaggs?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino.
Yes. Item 7, discussion and possible action on location and date of next regular board meeting.
Oh, you have something.
Yeah. For clarification purposes, can I verify that this is the sentiment of the resolution that you just passed? The Board of Directors hereby instructs staff to delay any issues relating to Possum Kingdom leasing until the July 27th board meeting, 2007 board meeting?
That is correct.
Thank you, sir.